This is Law and Disorder. I'm Michael Ratner. I'm the president of the Center for Constitutional Rights in New York and the co-host of the program Law and Disorder. Today, I'm going to give you a five-minute update on the Military Commission Act. I sometimes refer to it as the Police State Act, because that is what it is. It is an act that lays out the blueprint for a police state. By a police state, I mean a state where the president or king or whatever you call it is not accountable to law and can simply pick you up by the scruff of the neck, toss you into a prison, disappear you, and never get you into court. In the end, whatever analysis we do of this act, that's what this act allows. It has four key aspects that I want to bring your attention to. First, and the one you have read about the most, is the abolition of the writ of habeas corpus. Some call it a suspension, but it's actually the abolition. It's gone, and it's gone particularly and focused on non-citizens. Non-citizens not just abroad, like those in Guantanamo or Bagram or in secret CIA detention facilities, but non-citizens here at home, even legal permanent residents. Now, habeas corpus sounds like a fancy Latin word, but in the end, what it means is that any person detained by the United States has the right to go into a court and demand from the government a legal reason why they are being held in detention. It's considered the fundamental protection against the police state. And yet, what our Congress did was abolish that right for every non-citizen in the United States and abroad. The right goes back to the year 1215. It came out of the Magna Carta. And yet, despite its 900 years of glorious history, despite its being totally embedded in the U.S. Constitution, with the swipe of a pen, president signed into law the abolition of the writ of habeas corpus. It's nasty, it's brutal, and it really is the blueprint, the underpinning of a police state. Aspect number two of this law is the definition of an enemy combatant. Now, it's not that you can simply deny the writ of habeas corpus to anybody. They have to be a so-called enemy combatant. But that's not really much protection, because an enemy combatant is whomever the president decides is an enemy combatant. Yes, there's some definition in the act about materiating terrorism, and there's some definition of having to say has been legally determined to be an enemy combatant by a tribunal set up by the president or by a procedure set up by the president. That's no protection at all, because there's no court that can determine whether a non-citizen who's labeled an enemy combatant was properly labeled. So that definition is no protection. The second part of the definition of enemy combatant is that it applies to U.S. citizens. It says that tomorrow I can be labeled an enemy combatant, even though I'm a U.S. citizen, and thrown into prison. Now, while I technically have the writ of habeas corpus to protect me, I say technically because it can be years of litigation before I get a court to hear that case. And in fact, we've had a recent case, Jose Padilla, where after 3 years, he still didn't get a proper hearing on whether he was classified as an enemy combatant. So now you have habeas corpus denied, broad definition of enemy combatant, which really robs you of most of your legal rights. A third aspect of the bill is the permission allowance of the president to torture. You all heard about McCain standing up to the president on this issue, but in fact, that's so much BS. He didn't stand up. In the end, he compromised. In the end, this bill allows the continuation of what was done to our clients at Guantanamo, chaining to the floor, hooding, stripping, and even arguably waterboarding, which is mock drowning. No protection at all. So after you're denied the writ of habeas corpus, after you're called an enemy combatant, you can then be essentially tortured. And then in addition, just to make sure that they're protected, these guys who do the torture, they've amnestied all of them. They've pardoned all the government officials from Gonzales and Rumsfeld down the chain of command for anything they did in the past regarding war crimes or torture of people. So those are three aspects. The fourth aspect is actually what the bill is named, the Military Commission Act, which is sets up special trials for alleged terrorists. Now, those alleged trials are rump trials, they're kangaroo trials. They again allow evidence from coercion to be used. They allow evidence that the defendant doesn't see to be used, and they allow the president to completely control the proceedings. So essentially you have, if you ever get tried, and most of these people, like the 460 people we represent at Guantanamo, will never be tried. If you get tried, you're almost lucky, even though your trial procedures are completely contrary to law. My hope is that these four aspects, which sadly our Congress went along with, will be struck down by the courts. But that's a hope. It's going to take all of us out there to say, we want our rights back. This is not just about people at Guantanamo, but this is about the fundamental rights that make up a democratic, liberal state. This was probably the low point in our experience of 5 years of fighting against the post-9/11 repression of the state. This has been an update from Law and Disorder. You can visit us at lawanddisorder.org.